So the resurrection can be really hard to believe. I mean, what was this body that he had that just appeared to his disciples as they were talking, that nevertheless had solid hands and feet, a body in which he could swallow, with which he could swallow a piece of broiled fish? What was it like? We don't really know. It's hard to believe. And what's more, if this is the way that he chose to overcome death, why doesn't he give us a little bit more evidence for it? If this is the way he chose to overcome death, why was it just him? Why didn't God bring the loved ones we'd love to see again, too? Resurrection is hard to believe. If we are baptized, as our scriptures say, and as our rite of baptism says, if we are baptized into his death and resurrection, why don't we get Easter all the time? Why do we still have to contend with death? And why is it that so often we're still afraid? Because Christian people have those questions and more about the resurrection, about Easter, I think it's really great that in Luke's story of one of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances, Luke uses no fewer than 7 expressions to describe what's going on in the disciples' minds and hearts. They are, according to Luke, the disciples startled, terrified, thought they were seeing a ghost, frightened, and had doubts in their hearts. And then even after they reach out and touch the risen Jesus and joy begins to grow, they are nevertheless also, this is 6, disbelieving and still wondering. No one in this story looks up and greets the risen Jesus as if they knew that this was all part of the plan and things were going exactly according to schedule. Resurrection is hard to believe. It's almost as if we take this story seriously, and I do, it's almost as if the scriptures are trying to comfort us by telling us that Easter faith, Christian faith, the church itself, being a community of people gathered around the risen Jesus, starts not with certainty or with having all of your faith and believing, mental ducks in a row, but instead, Easter faith begins with fear and doubt and disbelief and wonder. It's in that place where Jesus shows up to the disciples and where Jesus shows up to us just to be with them right where they are, right with what they're feeling, right with what they're thinking in that moment, right in that place where it's just so hard to believe. It is, in many ways, the story of Jesus' post-Easter appearance, a strange answer to the kinds of questions and doubts and wonderings that we have in our hearts concerning this very peculiar thing at the heart of our faith, that God raised up Jesus from the dead and that he is now alive in some way that we don't fully understand. God's answer to that is just simply to be. To be with them and to be with us. And what's more, to be with them in 2 very particular ways. First, in eating a piece of broiled fish. And second, in opening up the scriptures. Commentators have read this story of Luke and concluded that it looks an awful like, a lot like Christian worship, eating and reading. And indeed, that's what we do. Every single Sunday, we gather together and the scriptures are read and our minds hopefully are open to them. And then someone lifts up bread and wine in the way that Jesus asked us to do, offering them to us as the body and blood of Christ. It's Jesus himself, really, who's presiding at our table, not whoever's serving as pastor here at the moment. It's the way that Jesus comes, and it's the way that he's present with us. And he gives himself to us not as to people who understand absolutely everything about him, but he gives himself to people who are startled, frightened, terrified, have doubts arising in their hearts, are afraid, who are wondering. At our best, although sometimes we don't really live this way, but at our best, churches are places where we can bring all of those many doubts and fears, questions and wonderings, and just come and be in the hope and expectation that Jesus, some way that we don't always understand, will just come and be with us. In the scripture story, these frightened, startled, terrified, wondering, disbelieving, doubts arising in their hearts, disciples go with the presence of Jesus from this place of terror into all the world, and they are what Jesus calls witnesses. People who have seen something, people who have heard something, people who have touched and tasted something. And so then they are able, in their life together and in their speech, able to say, to speak to the living presence of Jesus, to people who have never seen him risen in the flesh. And it's because of their witness that we know about him. And there's something living and real and alive in that continuity of witness as communities continue to gather over and over again, opening the scriptures and eating together. And not only bread and wine, but also donut holes and community dinner and soup suppers and potluck dinners. If you, in the course of your daily life, have ever set up for a social hour, or if you have ever made a Jell-O salad for a funeral lunch, or washed up after a community dinner or some other thing, here's the thing. You are not just in the business of calories. You are in the business of living witness to the fact that Jesus is, in fact, alive. Not that that always erases all our doubts. Like I say, it's sort of an imperfect, imbalanced kind of story. On the one hand, you have doubts and fears and questions and wonderings, and God gives not answers, God gives scriptures and food. And God gives people who live in the expectation, in the hope, in the conviction that in these things, Jesus really does appear. In a famous Easter sermon, preacher Richard Lisher once compared the witness of the Christian church to those actually awful images you sometimes see on the news, where there's been a disaster that's happened, an earthquake or some other kind of attack, and you see people wandering around in the streets with a picture of their loved one, and they're walking around asking, you know, have you seen this woman? Have you seen this man? Have you seen my brother? Have you seen my sister? Have you seen my son? Pastor Lisher says that the Christian church, in a way, is a lot like this. We have a picture of the risen Jesus. It's not a photograph. It's not DNA evidence. It's not a firm historical record or a scientific experiment that we can repeat over and over again. It's a picture painted from generations of Christian witness of people who have seen Jesus in the breaking of the bread and in the opening of the scriptures. And we carry that picture with us, and sometimes We are the ones who are asking the question because the doubt and the fear and the startling and the terror and the wondering and the disbelief are just rising up. So in the cemetery, or in the hospital room, or in the courtroom, or in the streets, where protest against injustice has risen up in a crowd of people crying out for help, people are asking, have you seen this man? Have you seen him? And just as often, the Christian church are those people who, being fed around the table and having opened up the scriptures and having gone to eat donuts at coffee hour and serving at the community dinner, are the ones who are then sent into the world to the hospital rooms and the cemeteries, to the streets and to the courtrooms and the prisons and anywhere else where somebody else is hoping. Is it true? It is the sum of all of our doubts and fears, really, isn't it? Is it true? Have you seen him? And we say together, we've seen him, brother. We've seen him, sister. We saw him in the breaking of the bread. Amen.